Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom.
Shalom, big bro. Okay, shalom, big bro.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay. I'd like to say peace and shalom to everyone at the sound of my voice. Brother Nikemiah of the Nation of Peace Israelites, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're about to get started with the lesson. Brother Job and Sister Ray ain't on right now. But we're going to get started with the lesson, people. Brother Isaiah, if you're reading, can you bring a reading of your choice? We're going to ask that all the brothers stand and face the east with your head uncovered. We ask all the sisters, stand and face the east with your heads covered, if it is possible. So with that, brother Isaiah, bring a reading of choice, and we're going to get started.
Amen, 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 amen. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cry, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with, strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when thou hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The reading will take place in the book of Psalms, chapter 138, verses 1 through 8. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Isaiah, can we get Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3?
Yes, sir. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And in verse 2 it says, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, people. That means that we're supposed to be preparing for the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God the Father coming. So that's what we're saying. So this is what the former prophet John the Baptist was telling us. and in verse 2 saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Us as in the work of God and the people of God, we supposed to be preparing the way for the people, a clear path. Make the path straight. Make the path clear. Non-agenda path. And how we deal with this non-agenda path with the laws, statutes, commandments of God, with the testimony of Jesus Christ. So with that, people, we're going to get started with the lesson. The lesson today is the number 7 on prophets. See, people, if y'all listened to me before, y'all know I get a little Bible nerdy with things. So I'm very, very interested in the math of the scriptures. And these things go deep in the scriptures that for some reason the Most High has got patterns and very intricate things that he tries to show us through the numbers in the Bible. So we're not going to do a lot of the obvious stuff that people see with the number 7 of the Bible. We're going to see why this is relevant, why this number 7 is relevant. So let's get so with that, Brother Isaiah, let's kick this off in Genesis chapter 2:1.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 2:1.
Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 2:1. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made.
Okay.
And God...
Now look, so look, he said, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Well, this is the first lesson that God teaches us if we pay attention. The very first lesson God teaches you is to count to 7. When you read about creation, you might not realize it, but he's teaching you two things. He's teaching you to count to 7, and he's teaching you what a week is. You see what I'm saying? And the other way he teaches us this, because most of us on the phone is Israelites, is he teaches we have the Sabbath every week. Now, what is the reminders of what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It reminds us of the creation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We know that once we get to the Sabbath, guess what? We just accomplished a week. This is the first through your subconscious, he's putting this in your head. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is, if you on this planet, guess what hasn't changed since you've been here? There's been a lot of changes since we've been here. But one thing that ain't changed, I was born in 1969. So guess what hasn't changed since 1969, since I've been on the planet? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 every week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That has not changed. And I'm pretty sure everybody else that's on his phone, this is the one constant in our life. I don't care who you are. There's a lot of things this world tries to change, but the one thing it doesn't change is our daily week. It has not changed. It stays the same. It's constant. Tomorrow, guess what? And in a few more minutes, guess what? The sun gonna go down, and it's gonna be the beginning of what? The fifth day.
Amen.
We're almost ending the fourth day. I don't have to worry about this. This is like clockwork. This is going to happen. Nothing can stop it unless God wants to stop it, but he ain't going to even do that. It's going, guess what, people? It's going to be the fifth day in a little bit here. Sun's going to go down. It's going to be the fifth day. So we got to understand that. He's trying to show us this thing. First thing he's teaching us. But let's see. I'm saying, so people, you better understand the importance in number. Let's go to Exodus 20 and 8.
Amen. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Stop. What, did I tell you this is something he teaches us? What did he say? Remember the seventh day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling you to remember what? The seventh day. Remember the number seven. To keep the number seven holy. He's put some importance to it. The other thing about this is the only day that got a name. You go through the creation, all the rest of the days is day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. But the Sabbath day, guess what? Sabbath day or the seventh day got a name. But he's going to give us instructions. Read on, brother.
Verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
Okay, he said he blessed it and is hallowed, meaning holy or separate. So, but he gives us instructions. He said the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. He says, he don't want nobody. He says 6 days shalt thou labor. So he's these are simple instructions. 6 days do your labor, 7 days day of rest. This hasn't changed. You can't mess this up. Even though I hear some Christians every once in a while say that Sunday is the Sabbath, which is the first day of the week, but he given us step-by-step instructions here in Exodus chapter 20. You can't get it wrong. Even if you're sitting in a slow class with a helmet on, these instructions is pretty simple. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. But guess what? It's something God said he wants us to remember. He wants us to remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. So this, guess what? That lets me know. This means something to him. So if it means something to him, then guess what? A week or the Sabbath or the number seven should mean something to me. So I investigate. I'm saying that should make us want to investigate this number seven, the very first lesson God has ever given us. The kindergarten of humanity is the creation. I don't know, when you was in kindergarten, maybe they tried to get you to count to 10 first. Well, in God's universal kindergarten, we count up to 7 first. That's what he wants us to know. He wants you to know what a week is. He drills this into us. He drills this into us so much that he drills it into us every week of our life. Even before I was an Israelite, there was Israelites and there's been people doing the Sabbath. It's something that he drives the point home every week. But let's go on to Leviticus. Let's go on to Leviticus chapter 23 and 1. Leviticus 23 and 1.
Amen. The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of rest, and holy convocation ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
See that? So he's bringing a point again. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. He wants us to know this. Which ye shall proclaim. He said, we're supposed to proclaim this. This is why, as an Israelite, this should be something, and say, unless you darn near dead, you should be doing so any way that you can, how you figure it out, you should be participating in the Sabbath, people, however you can. This is something that you can't ignore. See, when I was a Christian, I could wake up some Sundays and say, oh, man, Philadelphia Eagles playing an early game, dog. I ain't going to church today. See, I can't. See, you know why? Because it ain't no sin. God didn't make no Sunday rules. So it ain't no stress for me to go to church on Sunday. If I felt like going, I went. If I didn't feel like it, I didn't want to. But like I said, if the Philadelphia Eagles was playing an early game, or, and I live in Minnesota, so I got two teams, and if the Vikings was playing an early game, well, guess what? Y'all probably ain't going to see me.
Right.
And so you got to know that, people. You know what I'm saying? Got to know that. That's why I'm glad I'm an Israelite. I can watch the Vikings and the Eagles every week without worrying about with nothing else to disturb. Now, my Michigan Wolverines on the Sabbath, okay, that's kind of here. That's hidden, this people. That's hidden. Can't see the Wolverines all the time. But you know what? I can live with that because I'm always the kingdom bigger than my Wolverines. Hopefully, winning another national championship. But he wants us to do this, people. He's giving us this instruction. It's a weekly instruction. But now, people, we finna show you that this number 7, he connects it. We're going to do a lot of math. If some of you was here Sunday with the Bible calendar, we're going to show you some numbers on that too a little bit. I'm saying we're going to get more into that. Like I said, the more you listen, the more you'll understand what a Bible calendar, we're going to make it. I got to actually show this on something live. Saying I think I'm going to try. You know what, people? I think I'm going to have to try to accomplish that this Saturday. I think this Saturday, I'm saying I live in Minneapolis and I teach a class at the Minneapolis Library. I think I might go live this weekend and show the Creation Jubilee calendar. I'm saying I think I'm going to do the making of that, probably try to do that and get that done. So with that, Brother Isaiah, let's get into some of the math. With dealing with the math through people in the scriptures. So let's go to Genesis chapter 5 and pick it up at the 6.
The book of Genesis chapter 5, verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos.
Stop. It says Seth lived 105 years. Now, people, some things it's easy to connect the numbers to what they could be multiplied by. But so that's what I'm saying. A lot of these numbers, when you look at them, they're not obvious. But so I'm going to take, and if you do it too, with our forefather self, let's see, is the number 7 connected to him? So we're going to take 105 divided by 7, and it equals 15. So whenever you do this thing, when you divide things by 7s, guess what this it represents? It represents weeks. So when we're talking about Seth, he said he lived 105 years, but you can divide it by 7, it comes up to 15. 15 weeks. 15 sevens. This is what it connects to. He's showing you that everything is connected to these things, that this number 7, understanding a week, he has deeply ingrained it in the scriptures. Now, we're going to show you somebody else in this same thing, but he got a way more numbers to it, and everything connected to him is going to be the number 7. Everything about him is going to be the number 7. So, Brother Isaiah, drop down to verse 12.
Amen. Verse 12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahaliel. Well, excuse me. Let's say that again. Read that again. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahaliel.
Okay. So 70. We can see that clear. That I'm saying 70. That's not hard to figure out. That's 7. That I'm saying 7 and 70 is what? 10. You can clearly see that one. That one's easy. But read on.
Amen. Verse 13. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalaleel 840 years and begot sons and daughters.
Stop. Stop. 840 years. So Mahalaleel, he lived, I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, when Canaan lived in it was 70, Mahalaleel, Canaan lived in 70 years and begat Mahalaleel. So we got that easy. But let's go into 840. 840 divided by 7 is 120. So everything is saying, it seems like everything about Canaan is connected to what number, people? You got 70 that's connected with Canaan. And then you got this 840, which is what? 7 goes into that number also, which is 120. But read on.
Amen. Verse 15.
I mean 14.
Okay, yep, 14, sorry. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died.
Stop. So let's see 910. Is the number 130. So everything about him is connected to what? The number 7. Every number that was connected to Canaan was connected to the number 7. Do y'all think that's just a coincidence? I'll tell you why I don't think it's coincidence. Because one of the numbers, I'm saying when we did 840, it said that was 120. Well, people, numbers are prevalent. I'm saying numbers are connected to people. 120 is the age that Moses died. 120 is the age that Moses died. When we did that 910 and we divided that, that's 130. Well, you can look right over at verse 3, chapter 5 and 3, and say, and it says, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his likeness and after his image. When you read, about our forefather Jacob, when he came to Egypt, he was 130 years old. These numbers, even when you break them down, it had, if you understand the Bible and the numbers of a Bible, it has biblical relevance connected to the rest of these scriptures. And not like saying, do you think that this is just some willy-nilly thing? No, this is something that someone tried to do, a great, great mind tried to do. Now, I'm going to write you a story, but at the same time, I'm doing math in it. And I want these, and I want a lot of this math to be connected to time in numbers. Like I said, the first thing he taught us is a week or seven. So we already know that the seven is a big deal in the scriptures, but we're going to show you in the math, when you pay attention to the math, it's even deeper. So, like I'm saying, what I've done in breaking these numbers down, guess what? Most people is not going to do that. Even the creator of this Bible, who is God, who inspired everything from this Bible, guess what he know? The average person ain't going to add the numbers. The average person ain't going to divide the numbers. The average person ain't going to multiply the numbers. The average person's not going to do that. So to see these things in it, most people ain't going to ever see it. Because most people just going to read it as a story. I have to say, I didn't pay attention to, even as an Israelite, I didn't pay attention to no numbers in the Bible. When it started talking about ages and years and this and that, I didn't give it much of a thought at all. Until about the year 2012. Around about the year 2012, God started revealing to me the understanding of the numbers in the Bible. The first number he revealed to me was the number 4, which is Jesus Christ. When you read about in creation and you deal with the number 4, you're dealing with Christ. Everything about Christ is all about the number 4. Jesus is in the tribe of Judah. Judah is the 4th tribe. Jesus died in the midst of a week of the Passover on the 14th day at sundown. The 14th day at sundown is the 13th day at sundown, which is what? 1 plus 3 equals 4. Jesus calls himself the door. If you know what the door is in Hebrew, the door and the number 4 are the same thing. Jesus died on a cross in the Hebrew alphabet. One of the letters, the last letter of the alphabet, which is 22nd, this 22nd letter, which is 2 and 2 is 4. But when you add up but it also means the number 400. So that's when God started really making me pay attention to these things. Jesus said he's the light of the world. Okay, the light of the world, which is the sun, came on the 4th day. So I started paying attention and started understanding the relevance of numbers. And how did I learn it? Through the creation. The creation is nothing but a breakdown of what numbers mean. And it's a pattern, and it shows you different patterns that you can see all through the scriptures. But we're going to continue. Brother Isaiah, let's get another person just like Canaan, where everything about him is in the vibration of the number set. Let's drop down to verse 28.
Amen. 28.
And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son.
Stop. So he begot, I'm saying, he said Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. So I'm going to take 182 divided by 7. And it equals the number 26. So Lamech is connected to the number 7 in one part of what it's telling you about Lamech. But the other thing is, after you got your creation calendar and you go to the number 5 at the top and you go down at the end of that, when you add up the fifth row from the top going down, it's 182 on your creation calendar. So this is where all the numbers come from. This math is, it comes from a calendar, because the calendar that we got, people, is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. A calendar works off sevens. So a lot of the numbers of the Bible are going to be connected to a calendar if you take the time to add the numbers up. But continue.
Amen. Verse 29. And he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters.
Stop. 900, I'm saying, okay, he lived 995 years. Let's, I'm saying 595 years. So let's get that. 595 divided by 7 equals 85, which equals 4. When you know the Bible code, it's like we got that 26 at first. When we took the 182, we got 26. That's 8. So because 2 plus 6 equals 8. Because God only counts up to 9, and then he always starts over. So 8 and 5 is 13, which is 4. So I didn't know, like I said, I had to crunch numbers. There's no way in the world I would have knew that 595 could be divided by 7. But I saw it in 182 when we're dealing with Lamech. And then I saw in that 595. But read on.
Amen. Verse 30. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died.
Stop. So at the end you got 777. Okay, people, it don't take no math whiz to know this is broken down. You can take a 7 into this. So you get 111, which is 3. But people, if you know the Bible code, I can look at this number and tell you, I'm saying, so when you got 26, that's 8. When you got 85, that's 4. And when you got that 111, that's 3. But guess what, people? The number that it really should be is 4, 8, and 3. 4, 8, and 3. Now, when you do the Bible code and you did the calendar with us last week, we showed you all the codes, and one of the codes is 4, 8, 3. If you got your Bible calendars and you look to the right, where when we did it, you had 1, 5, 9, and then right under that 1, 5, 9, you got 4, 8, and 3. So, I didn't know this until the other day. So I didn't know the 483 code could do this. So this little mech thing, 483. So take 4, 8, and 3 divided by 7 equals 69 weeks. Now, people, there's a lot of Bible scholars that talk about this 69 weeks in the book of Daniel. So in the book of Daniel, it talks about this. And I even looked at my Bible dictionary, and guess what it got in it? 69 weeks is 483 days. But we know this comes straight off of the Bible calendar or time. Comes off time. God is breaking down time for us. It's showing you the importance of these things. He's got this all over our forefathers and prophets of the Bible. He's got this, I'm saying, we're just dealing with one number, 7, because that's the first lesson he ever taught us, is this number 7. If you're Israelite, you deal with the number 7 every week because, like I'm saying, we have a weekly Sabbath that we, as the people of God, can't ignore. We can't ignore the number 7 because the number 7 is in our lives once a week, every week. I've been an Israelite for 18 years. This is something that's been a part of my life for the last 18 years. It is something that I can't turn from the last 18 years of my life. And it's something I can't turn from the rest of the time, as long as I live or till Christ come back. It is something I'm not going to be able to ignore because it's something that no Most High in Christ says, remember. And guess what? I can't act like I want on that day. He said, keep it holy. So whatever little foolishness I've wanted probably dip and dab into, I can't do it on Sabbath day, people. Got to stay clear of all foolishness. Got to stay clear of all the little things that might come into my head on that day. Got to keep it clear on the Sabbath day. People, Sabbath day is my most righteous day of the week. Because guess what? I know I'm saying I've been commanded to show enough. Keep that holy. I know I should be keeping it. We're supposed to keep every day holy. But on that day, guess what? I try to eliminate all the foolishness. You can't even call me with no foolishness on the Sabbath day because I ain't going to try to hear it. If you're a person that I know don't deal with the Sabbath, I'm not going to really entertain any phone calls or anything like that on the Sabbath day. I'm just not going to do it. I'm saying, if you're calling me to tell me somebody died on the Sabbath, I'm going to have to wait. You're saying I'm going to have to get the information after the Sabbath. I'm going to have to get that after the Sabbath is over, people. Or whatever God got me participating. I usually teaching or reading or listening to someone else. So I'm saying after I'm giving God and Christ my undivided attention, then I can deal with it. But I'm not finna deal with none of my foolishness. And I'm not trying to entertain none of nobody else's foolishness. Because God said we're supposed to remember this, number 7. Like I'm saying, it might not be important to you, but I see the relevance. I see how deeply embedded he got these numbers. And all the numbers mean things. As we go more into the Bible code, we'll show you what the numbers mean. But if you really want to do it, all you got to do is deal with what first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. And people, believe it or not, there's an eighth and a ninth day. So once you learn how to break all those down, you'll understand through the creation, it'll tell you what the numbers actually mean. This is something that God has revealed to me. Like, you got some mystical people that be telling you that numbers mean this and number mean that. Stuff is real. but most of them ain't getting it from the source that they supposed to get it from. So a lot of time they be going off. They be going off. Yes, there's no doubt. I'm saying I study a lot of things of the ancients. Numbers has in the, to the ancient people, numbers have a lot of relevance spiritually. To the ancient people, I don't care if it's the Egyptians, the Sumer, the Babylonians, any civilization, any great civilization that they got documentation, they've got any writing, numbers has a great spiritual relevance to the people. Like I'm saying, I'm a person, I'm a nerd. I watch a lot of documentaries about things. And one thing, when you go into the ancient civilizations, and guess what? Most of the ancient civilizations, what, how they dealt with these things was the sun and the moon and the moving of the stars and the planets and things of that sort. That's the numbers and how they did it, and their movements were very relevant. And that's why a lot of this stuff, even in the Bible, is connected to what? A calendar or time. Time is very relevant in the scriptures and in the ancient world. In the ancient world, time is a very, very relevant and spiritual thing. Like I'm saying, when I know sometimes, it's been a few times, I went to McDonald's back in the day. I'm trying to be more like a vegan now. I used to go to McDonald's, and every once in a while I would order my meal, and it would add up to 666. Okay, that number, I'll say, you know what, I'm going to order me a apple pie and some extra just for my order to add up to 666. Because guess what? Numbers mean something in the universe. Most of us know that numbering, that number is connected to something that's not good. So guess what? Whenever I get anything and it add up to that, guess what? I add something to it to make it get off that number. Some people might say I'm crazy or tripping, but that's just the way I am. I don't want that vibration. I don't want the vibration of 666 on. So, no, man, my meal costs 666. Man, give me some. Let me add something else to this. But we're going to continue. So, Brother Isaiah, let's show you another prophet that part of this is on him. Let's go into Genesis chapter 9 and verse 28.
The book of Genesis, chapter 9, verse 28. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 900.
Stop. So, 350 years. So, let's take 350. 350 divided by 7. And it equals the number 50. So, people, we got to understand God only goes up to 9. So, this 50 really is the number 5. I mean, guess what? Noah, if you know the Bible code, and this is Noah is known for the flood. He's a water code. And you know how I know this number 5, this number 50 or number 5 is relevant? Go right into verse 29.
And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
Okay, 950. Okay, people, whenever you see the end of the age of a person, that's their whole number. So Noah's whole number is 950, but that's really the number 14, because you just take the 9 and the 5 and you add them together, you get 14. And then when you add the 14 together, you add the 1 and the 4. And guess what? You got 5. So when you add up his whole number, he adds up to the number 5, which is part of the word code, which is blood. Number 5 is the blood and the fish and the birds. So the water code is 258. We got the 8 and the 5 right here. But let's show you some more that this water code. If y'all think this is just something, just a funny game, let's go back to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 28 again, Brother Isaiah. Let's see what number was on his daddy when he had Moses.
You said Genesis 5 and 28?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, amen. The book of Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. Verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son.
Stop. When he was having Noah, he was 182. You add 182, that's 11, but it's really the number 2. The first number in the water code is the number 2. Drop down to verse 32.
Amen. 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
See, every time you deal with Noah, guess what? We got 2, 5. Remember, at the end, he was 950. When he had his sons, how old was he? 500. Just take 0 off. It's just 5. So you got the 2, the 5, and like we're saying, if we go right back to Genesis chapter 9 and 28, we got the 258, 350. 350 equals 3 and 5 is 8. So this code, and then his whole number, 950, because when we broke down at 350, it said that he is the number 50, which is 5, and then at the end of the day, he's 950, which is 5. He's a number 5 prophet. And he's known for water. The water code is 258. He covers you with the blood, the water. Number 5 is the blood. Number 8 is the spirit. Even the world knows that the number 8 represents eternity. But we broke the number 7 is on him. With that 350, you can break the number 7 down on a lot of the prophets and our forefathers. Let's show you another one that we don't talk about a lot. But let's show you that you can break. I'm saying this breakdown of the number 7 happens everywhere. Let's go into Genesis chapter 11 and verse 25.
The book of Genesis chapter 11, verse 25. And Nahor lived after he begot Teran 119 years and begot sons and daughters.
Stop. He was 119 divided by 7, 17 or 8. See, 17 or 8. See, people, this is a whole water situation right here. 119, like I said, if you add them up, that's the number 11, which is 2, which is water. And saying when you break it down by 7, it's 8, which is water. People, do you think these things are just coincidences? No, they're not. They're not just coincidences. It's just that God has given me the spiritual antenna to see the slickness of our God to the people that he wants to see these things. Everybody can't see them. I can look through them. I can even add people up together and see it. Let's do that. Let's see a situation in the Bible, and like I'm saying, people just don't add up the numbers. And then you probably don't know that the number's going to add up to 7 or a Sabbath. You probably don't know a Sabbath is going to connect to it. But let's go, Brother Isaiah, let's go into Genesis chapter 17 and 24.
Amen.
The book of Genesis, chapter 17, verse 24. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin.
Stop. So he was 99 when he got circumcised. But see, it's finna talk about, it ain't talking about one person in this situation. It's talking about two. Read on.
And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son.
So, in that day, who got circumcised? Stop, stop. So, in that day, Abraham and Ishmael got circumcised, right? Abraham being 99, Ishmael being 13. Now, we're going to add this together, but I'm going to show you something that I'm saying. Brother Isaiah, stay in 17 and go to verse 17, because I'm going to show you, you add people together, it's going to add up to something relevant. Read verse 17.
Amen. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?
Stop, stop, stop. So he's saying, he's telling you something, and he's talking about how many people? He's talking about two people. Me, because God has given me the spiritual antenna, I know that these things are connected. This is a connected thing. So I'm saying, so what I did is I took his 100 and her 90 and add them together. It's 190. If you know, I'm saying, if you know the days of the high holy days like I do, I'm a calendar person. The 190th day is the Day of Atonement. See, a high holy day, a time period. When you add both of them up, it is the Day of Atonement. But then, like I'm saying, when we just got done reading about it, so once I've been on that, so God put it to me, check it out. When you got Abraham, he's 99, and then you got Ishmael, when they got circumcised, both of them got circumcised, was 13. So I'll take 99 plus 13 equals 112. Well, because this one didn't trick me, because I used to wrestle in high school. And when I was my last year of wrestling, I wrestled 112-pound weight class. So because I'm mathematically minded, I know the numbers that break down into 12. And guess what? 112, I know that 7 goes into 112 just because, like I'm saying, I used to wrestle. So if we take 112 divided by 7 is 16, which is 7. This represents what? 1 and 6 is 7 represents a Sabbath. This represents a Sabbath. But you got to pay attention to the rules of the game of the Bible. When you see people connected, you add them people. When you see groups of people, I've learned from the scriptures that you add the people up. That's a relevant thing. If it's numbers, or if it's just if it's a number of people, you add the number of people together to see what the Most High is trying, what number He's trying to reveal to you. But let's do another prophet. Let's do another person in the Bible and show you the real number. Let's go into the book of Job, chapter 42:16. And people, you can ask questions at any time or comments, unless they got you muted out. So you can ask questions about these things, because this is not a normal thing. I'm saying you probably will never see anybody else deal or teach on this, on something like this, or even try to show people things like this. But let's get this. Let's go to Job chapter 42 and verse 16.
Amen. The book of Job, chapter 42, verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations.
Stop. So the prophet Job died at what? 140 years. And then divided by 7 equals 20. So that's 20 weeks. That represents 20 weeks for the number 2. But guess what? I'm going to show you how the codes always stay together. He died at 140. 1 to 4 is 5, which is blood, but it's part of the water code. And then when you break him, when you break him down by 7, he's the number 20 or 2, which is water. 2 is water. 5 is the blood, which is water. But the other thing you're going to learn, most of the prophets in the Bible are 2s and 5s. Just like we saw Moses. I mean, like we saw Noah. Noah was a what? He was a number 5. He died at 950. He's a number 5. Even the great, great Enoch, 365, you add them numbers up, you add those numbers up, that is going to be the number 5. Because 3 and 6 is what? 9. Anything times 9 is itself. So 365 is always going to be 5. People, that's the magical thing about the number 9. Anything times the number 9 is going to be that number. So most of the prophets are number 5. Even we see in that the prophet Job, he's a number 5. But you break him down, he's a 2, but he's all water because most prophets are 2s and 5s. Joshua, who's named after Jesus, he died at 111. Take the 0 off, 111 is 2. He's a number 2, which is what? Most prophets are 2s and 5s. You got people that's fathers that are number 3s. They're saying, like I'm saying, our father Abraham is a 3. Adam died at 930. That's 12. He a 3. Our forefather Moses died at 120. Take the 0 off. That's 12. That's 3. I'm saying, when you see people that's represented as a father, they're represented by the number 3. So we got to understand. So I'm just showing you, this thing lines up real good with the prophet Job, because he's what most prophets are. Most prophets are 2s and 5s. They can cover you with the water, and they can cover you with the number 5, because in number 5 in the creation, that's when fishes and birds came, but that's the first time blood was introduced into the universe. That was the first time blood was brought to this situation on earth, was at that time. So the number 5 represents blood, but also birds and fish. And these things, you got to understand, these numbers is on you. Like my name, my last name is Swanson. And it has swan in it, which is a bird. Well, my birthday is October the 5th. So see, part of me, it goes by your month and the month and your day.
Oh, that's
but part of me, I'm saying Swanson, and you know what Swanson means? It means holy son. Swanson means holy son, because a dove is white, so anything white, they try to say holy. But guess what? Birds were born on the 5th day. My last name is Swanson. My birthday is October the 5th. I can't make this stuff up, but that's what it is. So everything about us is meant. But we going, I'm saying, so this brother here, he died at 140. He's a number 5, break it down. He's a number 2. But he's like the average prophet in the Bible. Most prophets in the Bible are connected to the number 2 and the number 5. But let's get another one of our forefathers. Let's go into Genesis chapter 47, 28. When you get it, brother, go ahead.
And Jacob lived, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years.
Stop. So, like I'm saying, we're breaking all these things by seven. But one thing, if you know the Bible codes, this 147 is the light code. It's just straight up light code on his face. 147. Anybody understand these codes? 147 is a straight up code. But guess what? Then you can break down this with the number 7. Because we just dealt with Job, who was 140. Well, guess what? 147 is 4 days after 140. So that ain't hard to figure out. So 147 divided by 7 equals 21, which is 3. Didn't I say 2 and 1 is 3 is a father? Is not Jacob the father of the 12 tribes? Just like I said, Noah, the father of the covenant, 120, which is 12, a 3, are the father of mankind, Adam, 930, which is what, 12, which is 3. See, that father code is deep. It's all over the place. As people, if you think that this is just coincidences, you're really not paying attention. This is not a coincidence. This is a very, very, very intricate plan. But let's show you something else in the Bible that most people probably won't add up the numbers and don't understand what the numbers is. Let's go into Matthew chapter 1. Let's go into Matthew chapter 1, verse 17.
All right, bro, you said Matthew chapter 1, right?
Verse 17, yes, sir.
Okay, amen. The book of Matthew is chapter 1, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations.
Stop. So now it's saying 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. So that's 14, 14, 14 times 3. So let's take 14 times 3, which is really the number 5. Really, it's 5, 10, 15. But we're going to do it the way that they got it here because it is revealing a number. So 14 times 3 equals
42.
42. Guess what? 42 divided by 7 is the number 6.
Mm-hmm.
People are, okay, so it goes in sync. But you know what's the relevant thing about this? This is the generations counting all the way up to Jesus. Guess what, people? What day was man put on earth? In day number 6.
Mm-hmm.
4 and 2 is 6. When you divide it by 7, it's 6. Because that's when Jesus became a number 6, a human. That's when he became a 6. But if you got your creation calendar and you look at the week number 6, at the end of that number 6, that week in that line and the 6 week on your creation calendar, you got the number 42. Because that number 6 represents man. Man was born on the 6th day. This is when Jesus, I'm saying, when you add that 14, 14, 14 adds up to 42 divided by 7. 42 is 6, but when you divide 7, it's 6 because it took them generations for Jesus to become a number 6. And we still, I'm saying, and we still thinking that some man did this? You see what I'm saying? This is very intricate, people. But it also lines up with what? The number 7. It's a process of time. It's a process of time. 40, saying 42 is what? 6 weeks. which weeks are measured by sevens. But let's see. Let's let the Bible just give us a straight-up math problem. Let's go into Matthew chapter 18 and 22. Matthew chapter 18, verse 22.
The book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I say unto
Let's start at 21. Get it at 21. Just do the one right above it. Yeah, start 21 first.
Amen. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Now, he just gave you a He said 70 times seven. That's an actual math problem. And 70 times 7 is 490. But if you take the 4, if you take the 0 off, it's really showing you what? The 49. Guess what that is, people? If you go to your Jubilee calendar, at the end of your Jubilee calendar, what represents the beginning of creation, it ends on what? 49, or Jubilee, because the creation calendar is a Jubilee, a creation Jubilee calendar. That's what, and then I'm saying, we're doing these first 7 days, and then we got a second 7 days. That's two Jubilees. But they're represented by what? 7 times 7 is 49. How do I'm saying? And guess what? It's in the seventh week that 49 comes in the seventh week. So let's take 490 divided by 7. You get 70. You get 70 weeks, which represent what? A Sabbath or a Jubilee. 7 times 7 is 49. A Jubilee, and that's why it connects to the creation is 7 days. But it's just saying, no, 70 weeks, it's showing you the vibration of what? A Jubilee. 49. Jesus broke down a Jubilee right in our face. But most people don't understand what was it really representing. But that's what it was really representing. So he's letting us know a week. He's giving us math to break things down through the vibration of the number 7. Well, people, we've been talking about the week. But we got 3 more scriptures. Now we're going to break is something else, this number 7. Not only is a lot of this stuff is connected to a week, I'm saying, but we're going to show you something else that's connected to. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4 and 26. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26.
Amen. The book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
Stop. So Enos, through Enos, people started doing what? Calling on the name of the Lord. That's something very relevant. But guess what? I'm going to show you the relevance of him calling on the name of the Lord in the math. That him calling on the name of the Lord represents something else if you know the numbers. So, Brother Isaiah, let's drop down to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 9.
Amen. The book of Genesis chapter 5, verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan.
Stop. So Enos first, We got the number 90. So I want you to write the number 90 down. Read on.
Amen. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters.
So people, write down the number 815. Read on.
And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died.
Stop. So check this out, people. Now we're going to add all those numbers up. 90 plus 815 plus 905. You get 1,810. But people, take the zero off. It's really trying to show you 181. And he said that, he says, remember, he said Enos was the beginning when man began to call on the name of the Lord. People, if you understand your high holy days with the math, guess what 181 is? Is the memorial of blowing of trumpets. Guess what? Enos, he was the trumpet. He is the memorial of blowing of trumpets. Remember, he could call on the name of the Lord. What does the horn do? It gives you the warning. It's making sound. He said we began to be able to call on the name of the Lord, and when you add all his numbers up, it represents what? The 181st day, or the seventh. And see, like saying we about the seventh, or the seventh month, first day. So we went from dealing with weeks to, guess what? Now he said he's trying to reveal to us what? The seventh month, first day. So Enos, who represents the memorial blowing trumpets in his numbers, also is what? Beginning of the seventh month. Last scripture, last place, Brother Isaiah, Leviticus 23 and 24.
Amen. The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation.
Stop. So he's letting you know, in the seventh month, like saying God always wants us to learn about sevens, but he used through Enos, who was the person that got to be the trumpet, to call on the name of the Lord, who is, when you break his number down, brings you to the seventh month, because like saying, he went through it all the weeks, but he also breaks down the number seven with the month, because it's high. I'm saying, so we got to understand that. And guess what? This number seven means a lot, because Jesus was also born in the seventh month, people. So there's a lot of, saying there's a lot of relevance to the seventh month. When you read most of the stuff in Genesis chapter 5, if you add the numbers up, all of them are, most of the dates in that are going to be connected to the seventh month. Adam, you add all those numbers up, it's going to add to 186, which is seventh month, sixth day. So you do the same thing, if you do the same thing with self, seventh month, sixth day. I'm saying when you add Canaan, he's going to be 182, seventh month, second day. So people, I hope you see these things, just showing some math and things. Like I'm saying, you can ask questions at any time, but just bringing some things out, showing the numbers through our forefathers and prophets, that the number seven, the first lesson we've been taught, is very relevant and connected to most of the people in the scriptures. So with that, I hand things off to Brother Job, Sister Rhea. I hope you got some understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. You know, that was a
petty like that.
You know, going through the lesson.
Everybody know their lines.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, their lines are open. If you have any questions or anything to that effect, please press 1. Or, you know, if you don't have anything to say at this time, mute your phone until you do, so we don't be hearing your background and your business. With that being said, Nakomi, a.k.a., this would be Nehemiah. This would be Nehemiah. Look at here, Jew. You nailed it. Nehemiah chapter 8, in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, we had the feast. And a whole kingdom ate. That's the trumpets. You don't get around that. 1:8:1. You don't get around that. I got to say, man, you know, the numbers was introduced to me probably when I was in high school. But they didn't make sense until Brother Bowie did a creation lesson. And a brother named Joshua Griffin had did a Sabbath lesson, and he drew it on the wall. He drew it up on the board. And he went all the way to New Jerusalem. And mind you, some of it was still, you know, had some doctrine in it. It was indoctrinated, but he was on point and he was on his way. God rest his soul. The Lord allowed me to see that. Allowed me to see where he's at, like Nakomi. The Lord allowed me to see it. So I started practicing it, and I started practicing that method. And then I started seeing it for myself. And then when I started seeing it, other things jumped out. So I said, wait a minute. 14? I said, 7 going to 14. And I started saying, wait a minute, man. Now, so I want to look at the feast days, and I said, wait a minute, how do I get to the feast days? And I started counting up the feast days. The feast days was 180, and I found out that the half a year of God, everybody say, well, you got to have 3.5 years for the Great Tribulation. Then you say, well, how many days is the half a year of the Great Tribulation? Nobody got an answer. But they want to say 3.5 years. Well, if you're going to say 3.5 years, you're going to have to use the calendar in Revelation chapter 11. That's your 3.5 years. And he tell you what it is. If you want to know what that is, go look it in Daniel's chapter 12. Go look at it. 360 plus 180. What is 360? 9. That's eternity, man. It don't get no better than that. It's right there. 180. 1 plus 8 is what? 9. Don't get any better than that. 9 plus 9 is what? 18. 9. Right? Okay. So, you take this 180, right? You multiply it by... You take this 360, which is a year, multiply it by 50, and you get what? 18,000 days, which is 18, which is 9. Right? Okay, that's a jubilee. That's a half a year. Then you go another half a year, right? So 180 plus 180 is what? 360. That's a century, which is what? 9. Right? Okay. So how many jubilees in 1,000 years? 20. Right? Okay. So 20 times 6 is 120. Because you're talking about 6,000 days, 6 days, which is 6,000 years. So you got 120 jubilees inside of those days, which is 120, which is 12, which is 3, right? Okay, from when he said, let there be light, to Adam, we still on the Father, the Son, in the Spirit. We still there, never left, right? Light, water, earth, never left, right? Okay, then you add, because now you got to add up Adam's 6 days. So you say that's another 120, right? Okay, so we already established 120 is a 3, right? Okay, so you say 120 plus 120 is what? 240. Drop the 0, you got what?
24.
Which brings us to what? Which is the end of man. That's the 6th day. 240 jubilees bring an end to man and land us right on the Sabbath day. It don't get no better than that. It don't get any better than that. The Lord been talking to us through numbers for years. And we haven't been paying attention. I ain't gonna say that we don't know. I'm just saying we just haven't been paying attention. It wasn't for the revelation yet. Right? Maybe it just wasn't for the revelation, but now it is. Why? Because he said, knowledge. He said, go that way, Daniel. He said, and go that way and sleep, for knowledge shall be increased at the last day, right? Well, we're in the last day. Guess what? The 6th day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do on the 6th day? You get a double portion because you're preparing for a Sabbath.
Right, right, right.
That's what he said. You go out and you gather two, you gather around, you gather a double portion because the Sabbath day is coming up. That's what he told Daniel. Is he going to pour out the Spirit? That's why he said your sons and daughters going to prophesy. All these things going to take place because we're getting ready for what? The Sabbath.
Yeah.
Amen.
Man, this lesson, man, I got lit. Hey, bro, I'm listening to it again. I'm listening on my way to work. I'm listening to that work. Praise be the Lord, brother. And people that think these things aren't important
right.
are the same people that will sit up there and say, it don't matter what color Jesus
right.
is. It don't matter what color, what day it is you go to church. It don't matter what you eat.
Right.
You get over there with that root.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't care how much you Israelites you is. You sit up and say, this don't matter. You get over with that group.
Amen.
Because we don't sit up here and take the Bible and say, this don't matter. Because ain't now one of us got that authority.
Amen.
You don't.
Nobody has that
Amen.
Authority.
Amen.
I'm still trying to figure out. Who got the authority over the Bible and the Apocrypha?
Nobody.
But that's a whole other conversation, isn't it?
Amen.
We're not getting off into that because we stand on this numbers game and we don't want to lose the focus. But I'm just getting back to that, man. Praise be the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Great precept. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I yield the mic.
Thank you.
Amen.
Any more questions? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, one question here. Okay, this is Yehada speaking. Okay, now I wonder why does people say 365 days? And it's 364, 360?
That's what I'm saying. You've been taught, so you know there's two calendars.
Two calendars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know there's 360 and 364.
So,
you got the solar and the lunar.
All right, so where does 360 come from?
360 is, I'm saying, you're going by twos. The sun is doing 30 days a month. So when you add up a whole year, when you add 12, it's going to be what? 360.
360, that's right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Almost everything we dealt with today is dealing with what? The number 7. That's
the
sun.
Number 7.
Sun, the sun comes what? A solar month is 28 days, which is what? 7 times 4 is in a vibration of 7.
All right.
So when you add up a solar year, you got to remember, a solar year is 13 months.
I mean,
a lunar year is 13 months. A solar year is 12 months. The 12 months is what? The number 3 is the father.
It's the father, yeah.
Okay. 364, add that up, that's 13. What's that? 13
that's
is 4. Jesus. That's the sun.
That's Jesus. Thank you. You got the higher light and the lesser light.
All right. Okay. So I see Jesus. God goes by a month and a day that we were born. That's correct, right?
So yeah, that's how you know That's how you know what your number is.
So that's the light. Yeah. That's Jesus. So does everybody that he created goes by? Is supposed to go by that? They know that. So we are.
But everybody's. But you got to remember, bro. There's good fours and bad fours.
Oh, and then they kind of make
you
right there.
Okay. You got to remember. The number of the elect on the good side is 144, which is 9. But you got to remember, they are number 9 too. They 666, which is what? You add that up, it's 18. It's 9, but it's a bad 9.
Wow.
Because 9 means the elect. 9 also means the end. The end, guess what? They're going to be cut off. So you can either be a good 9 or a bad 9.
Wow. Well, that ain't me saying to look at myself then. But I'm a good hand, so I just think too much. Okay, because I know these numbers that Jesus got up on here means a lot now. Now I'm looking at these numbers very deeply now. So now I'm just counting everything now. I don't care. I just count everything. Because I think these numbers, what exactly the numbers are, God put out here, what does he really mean for the numbers? I know it's like a parody, but what is that magic number? I know 9 must be the magic number. So I want to know what this is for the numbers that he wants to always, that he will always put out there, like that number.
It's me, like saying, bro, there's many numbers. He got 9 numbers. He got 9 numbers with 9, but they got a lot of things connected to them, to the 9 numbers. Because God counts up to 9, not 10. That's why you can figure everything out through the number 9. When you count to 9, when you get to 10, all it is 1, 10, 11 is 2, 13. So every time you get to anything equivalent to 9, it starts all over. But, We got other people that probably want to ask some questions.
Sorry.
Okay,
I'm
but yeah, I'm good. Well, yeah, but great question. Any more comments, testimonies, comments?
Yeah, what's going on, bro? This brother Isaiah, man. Hey, man, I learned these numbers better and better. You know, and definitely actually dividing stuff up. You know, trying to read and do it at the same time, you know, look through some scriptures. You know, I think I'm getting pretty much good at it, man, you know. But, you know, just basically just sitting back and just watching how you just, you know, how you take this thing up. You know what I'm saying? To me personally, you know, what God gave you, man, is an amazing gift, man, you know. To, you know what I'm saying, to tear up a precept like that, man, and great using numbers. You know what I'm saying? And then Job came through and you know, he splurged his part out. You know, that's a beautiful thing, man. You know, I just want to congratulate you, man, and just keep going, man, and I'm learning this thing. I might not say much. I'm just learning this thing, you know, and just really just being quiet and just, you know, writing this stuff down, looking at the numbers, and adding stuff up. And every time I add it up, it's 100. So all I want to say is, bro, keep it up, man. It's amazing what you're doing. Now you're the mic.
Thank you, brother, and thank you for reading. You did a great job. Like I'm saying, these things, I'm saying this is something he's given me to show the people. I don't even understand how I've even got to the point of seeing it, but I got my spiritual antennas up and I pay attention. I try to pay attention to everything because I believe that there's something there. I believe that there's something he's trying to say through us, through the word, through the stories, through the numbers, through everything he's given us. I'm saying I believe that there's always something there and there's always more he's trying to say. So I deal with the spirit even through numbers. And because I see the patterns and these things, he is dealing with us through everything he's given us, the numbers, the word, the stories, the everything. the people, his through his people that he got us around and all the things they answer, saying being around the right brothers and sisters motivate and inspire me to be do more and more and more. And all I can do is so hopefully Amen. I inspire, you know, hopefully I inspire somebody and stir them up to want to look deeper. With that, I yield to Mike.
You over my mind now. I feel like every lesson that you, Pastor Joe, Pastor Nehemiah, everybody that we that y'all preach, it's a gift. I feel like that God give us a gift every time we do a Bible lesson. Most likely, God gives what we need each and every day. So I feel and I see that once we learn more of this word and what you preach, it's a gift from God for us to have, and it's a gift to all the ones that have an ear. So he said, let the ones that have an ear, let them hear. So we hear. So that's a gift. So God don't leave us empty-handed. And, you know, I appreciate that a whole lot because the fact that I'm never empty-handed. So much more I learn, I get stronger and stronger, and it makes me more wiser. But I pray and I hope and I'm going to command, but I wish that as we learn more and more and get more emotionalized and understanding from the gift that we just received, that I think I'm supposed to be doing something the same way as y'all doing as well.
No.
That's
all right,
my Pastor Joe.
Amen.
All right. So, yeah,
hey,
bro.
Just want to say.
You saying? Yeah.
You got other hand up.
Yeah, you got other brothers and sisters that need to talk, bro. Any more questions, comments, testimonies? Any announcements?
Well, I just want to say once again, man, great peace out. Oh, what happened? Okay, we're good. All right. Just want to say once again a great precept. Lord God of Israel is merciful, and He's merciful to whom He will be merciful to. People be wondering why would they give somebody like, you know, Nakomi or Isaiah or myself. Not to say that I'm better than anyone. I'm just saying, you know, why would He give anybody like us anything? You would think that those things be going to Pope Francis or, you know, the Super Brews and all that there. You know. I just say, man, it's mercy, Jack. Ain't got nothing to do with where you supposed to be. Where you at is where you at. It's all to it. Leave it like that. Don't be trying to be above your station. See where you at. And keep learning where you at. And think like mm-hmm. you think. Maybe you might find something there because we don't think like you. So why don't you find out where your planet is? Go in there and dig that.
Mm-hmm.
Go from there. Tomorrow, man, tomorrow. We want to be here tomorrow evening at the exact same time here at the Sounds of Living Waters for the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible study class coming out of Peoria, Illinois. My brother Isaiah Brown, the brother you heard reading tonight. Oh, by the way, great job. Great job reading. Man, you did a wonderful job. So what's the precept for tomorrow evening?
Oh, amen. All praises. Thanks to Sister Rhea, the Lord brought something to my attention that I think that He want me to bring to the table. And maybe the precept tomorrow, God willing we live, is called, man is not bigger than God, but man talk like he is bigger than God concerning the Apophica.
All right.
And that will be the precept tomorrow.
Yeah.
Rhea would like for you to repeat that.
Oh, amen. The name of the precept is called, man is not bigger than God,
but man talk like he is bigger than God concerning the Apophica.
Ooh-wee. I can't wait to see how you're
going to
break that down.
Yeah, that's all I could do. All right, Jew. Well, y'all heard it straight from the scholar's mouth. You heard what
scholar's mouth.
Amen.
Well, yeah. We got young scholars and old scholars.
Yeah.
We got scholars, guys. That's what we have. That's what we're trying to become, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
In the end,
yes, sir.
Bottom line. All right. So all these different books coming from, man, I keep telling y'all, man, you better get some. It's either hardback or paperback. Either or, it's got to go down.
Yeah, but we good. You know, Sister Mary and Sister Denise made sure we got our copy, so we all good. Yeah,
sure.
With the Apophica. Yeah, our praises. But yeah, but you know, this precept, man, you know, it's just basically, you know, I mean, it's so much stuff in this precept. Most likely, it might be a part two, you know. You know, basically, you know, just giving just a short view of what the precept is going to be about tomorrow. You know, just basically, you know, not to discourage people on something the Lord has put on the table. Because a lot of people talk as if they know what they're talking about, but they really don't know what the hell they're talking about. You know, and they don't know how dangerous it is. So hopefully this precept is brutally get them right. You know what I'm saying? They just basically understand what you're doing to other people. You know what I'm saying? So the Lord puts something in somebody's way, and you put a stop sign in front of them, what you think will happen to you? You know? So a lot of people like to add their own flavor into something to try to prove something is good, but through the grace of God, we can tear that wall down. I get a mic with that.
Amen. Well, you want to be here tomorrow evening for that. That's tomorrow evening here at Sound of the Water with our brother Isaiah Brown, the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class. Amen. That's drama, Jack. And it's unnecessary. Don't forget to tell them people that the, you know, why they keep talking about it's not in the book, and that was a decision by the Roman Catholic Church. But the Apocrypha is still in their Bibles. They took it out the King James, but they made sure it stayed in a Catholic Bible. Now rotate on that for a minute. With that being said, Nation of Peace, woo, that's kingdom state of mind. That's the good stuff. Man, want to get back to that. Any closing comments? Is you like?
People, like saying, we got a lot of math and a lot of education. And I always tell people, like, some people go to churches and all they doing is singing and stuff like that, which is nothing wrong with none of that stuff. What I always tell people is this. If you go into the presence of God at a church or wherever you go and you ain't learned nothing, then you in a place with a bunch of empty heads. You supposed to be God. Whenever he comes around people, he delivers a message. He brings information. I'm saying you supposed to be learning something. If you go into any spiritual situation and you're not learning nothing, then you just an empty head. You should not want to be in the presence of empty heads. You should be trying to learn something. So, like, you know what I'm saying, I hope people got some understanding and hope that people get inspired to get into the education of salvation. With that, I yield the mic.
Amen.
Amen. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Agreed. Hallelujah. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here, at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles, people. Time appointed.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water. Sounds of the living water, radio show.